You're listening to The Art of Imperfect Adulting. I'm your host, Amy Stone. Here, I share stories from real people navigating the adventure that I call adulting. Are you ready? Me too. Let's do this. Hello, friends. In this episode, I'm going to introduce you to my friend, Wendy Giuliano. As sometimes happens on the show, Wendy is an actual in-real-life friend of mine. You might pick up on that during the show. We talk about medicine and we talk about chronic pain. I myself am pretty lucky so far in my life. I hope to continue to be lucky on this. I don't experience much chronic pain. I hope I'm not calling it in by pointing that out. I have the impression, though, that many people do have this in their life. And so I think that Wendy's story will be entertaining and hopeful to you. We also talk, just to keep it interesting, we also talk about state fair food. So if you're ready, I'm ready. Let's do it. Wendy Giuliano, welcome to Imperfect Adulting.
Thank you, Amy. I'm so excited to be here.
I'm happy you're here. Are you ready for a fun chat?
Yes, of course.
All right. So I like to begin every interview asking people what part of the world they're from. So tell everybody where you live these days.
I am in the greater Boston area, so Massachusetts.
Massachusetts. You and I actually know each other a teeny tiny bit in person, which is different from a lot of the people that I talk to because I meet them for the first time when we have these conversations. But we've had a lot of virtual contact over the last couple of years, and I even got to meet you in person and hang out with you in beautiful Boise, Idaho. So that was a lot of fun. But I'd love for you to take a minute and share with the audience, the listeners, a little bit about your personal background. So we're going to talk about a specific topic, but tell us a little bit about your life outside of work, maybe the important people in your life or your pets or your hobbies or whatever it is that will shed some light on who you are. Just share as little or as much as you want.
Okay. Well, I'm originally from Minnesota, and you will typically hear me say it that way because I can. But I have been here in the Boston area for about 25 years, so I can be wicked cool too and talk all the things there too. But I live here with my husband. We have no children. We used to have a dog, but we don't currently have one. And I love all things in nature. I like being outside. I like being curious. I like wondering. Right now it's winter right here. When this airs, it might be a different season, but I'm all about being outside. So I like beaches, so maybe I need to come and actually visit you where you are.
That's right, because I'm in Miami. Right? Yes, exactly.
Yeah, and I love to read, and I'm curious about a lot of things, and sometimes I dip my foot in, and I'm like, no, this isn't quite in alignment with me. So I try to look at that, but two of my core values are growth and community. And yep. There's a lot that fits in that. So I get curious about a lot of things.
Absolutely. I could go on a tangent, but I won't. The thing that we're going to talk about today is the topic of giving up on Western medicine and healing from chronic pain. How does that sound?
Sounds good.
Right? Yeah. And this is going to be a fun conversation, although chronic pain doesn't necessarily sound like it might be, but it is going to be. I'm looking forward to this because since I know you, and I know a little bit about what you do, I didn't know the origin story of how you got here. And so I'm actually really excited for this conversation. So let's rewind the clock and talk a little bit about chronic pain and tell us what you were experiencing and also kind of shed some light on what time frame this was. How long ago was this happening in your life?
So let's see, 2013. That's kind of where I'm in a place market. So
okay.
I was having lots of pain on my right side of my body, specifically my hip going down to my foot, to the point of kind of crying on a daily basis because it was just so much. And I then took the route, didn't know, I didn't do anything. So I was exercising regularly back in the day and was taking some jump roping courses and whatever and had some issues coming up, but it wouldn't heal, right? So okay. Then I started to go, okay, what is going on here? Let me go and ask the professionals, the experts, what's going on. And so I went to the doctor, and the first doctor was kind of the approach of like, tell me more, let's see. But you know, when you have everything is connected, and when you have pain in one area, you start to feel it because maybe you walk differently, or maybe you hold yourself differently, and so then you start to feel it over here. So probably every appointment, I was like, oh, it hurts here. No, it hurts here. No, it hurts here, right? So he was probably like,
Pointing different spots, yeah.
yeah, this crazy lady, she doesn't even know what's going on. But lo and behold, he wasn't going to do anything until he knew exactly what was going on. And so I did the physical therapy, no relief there. I did various things that they recommended and to know. So then I said, well, let's get a second opinion, right? Maybe he isn't the expert. And so I
Yeah.
went down that path, and that person wanted to open me up and take a look. And so I
So the first
was
doctor, was that your like primary doctor? It was like just your
like, no, it
general practitioner?
was a sports medicine
Okay.
surgeon.
Sports medicine. Okay. So then you go, so you're sports medicine, and they love to refer physical therapy. And this is nothing against physical therapy, actually. Physical therapy can be really great. And then you go to a second opinion. He's like, okay, or they, the doctor, I don't know if it was a boy or a girl. She, okay. So it was like, let's do explore, operation.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. And
So
how
then
did you feel about
I
that?
was like, you guys are all crazy. One doesn't want to do anything, the other one wants to open me up. I think I'm just going to take a pause here.
Okay.
And that's what I did. Yeah.
Okay. So you said, you mentioned that you were crying from pain, which means that it was a lot of pain. I got a call from one of my adult kids today, who slammed a finger in a car door. A group of people like slammed, and she was trying to help. I was walking her through figuring out what should she do, like how do we figure out if it's broken, and she's showing it to me on the video on the little phone. I'm standing in my kitchen, and I asked her, I was like, okay, give me the pain scale, like 1 to 10, where are we on the pain scale? And so when you were crying, this, I mean, it takes a lot to make people cry. You were in a lot of discomfort. Was it all day long, off and on, like how, or just, you know?
So it was a, I would say maybe at a 3 or 4 consistently all day long.
That's a lot.
But then it would go up. And I don't know, some people have told me since that I have a high pain threshold too.
Right.
Well, because I had to probably develop it because
Yeah.
how was I otherwise going to get through all of this for 7 years? So.
Yeah. So, 7 years is how long you live through this. A three and a four constantly, like, is pretty uncomfortable. I think that sounds miserable. I mean, it's, you know, pain is one of those things. I'm very lucky I have not had chronic pain, but you know, you just, you we're we don't think that we don't have it. Like when we don't feel it, you don't notice that you're not having it. But when it's there, like a toothache or a headache or like an injury, it just takes everything over. It does. So you went to those two doctors, and then you decided to have a pause. And so at that point, are you just living with the discomfort and hoping it'll go away?
And so again, for me, I don't know where this came from or how I developed, but I am not like a pill popper.
Okay.
So I didn't have pills to help the pain and I whatever. So you know what I did do is I started drinking wine.
Oh, okay. All right.
Because
Because
that
you were,
makes
yeah.
total sense, right? That makes total sense. No.
It actually does, right? It actually does. If you think of it as like, you know, the wine, you know, you're looking for a way to feel better and to make something go away. So I can definitely see the connection. So it's like, you know, ibuprofen, other prescription pain pills. You didn't have those and you weren't taking those. You live in Massachusetts, so at some point that could have been weed. You know, but so you went with wine. I no judgment, no judgment. I think that, you know, it's a coping mechanism to try and get through the day. And maybe it's not, you know, the one you want to do forever, but it deserves a fair shot. So, all right. So now you live with it for 7 years, you develop a coping mechanism, drinking wine in the evening or in the afternoon, or maybe for breakfast. And you're, this is not what you want to do. Is there a single moment where you said to yourself, okay, I'm going to try something non-traditional, or was it like a mix of things that were leading you in that direction?
Yeah, so I also gained 50 pounds drinking that wine and not moving.
Oh, yeah, because 50. Okay, that's a lot.
So then it I cannot live this way. This is not the way my life is supposed to be. So let me find some other things. So then, all the things, CBD, journaling, meditation, all the possible things that could be one, whatever. Anyone, I heard someone else do yoga. Okay, let me try yoga. You know what I mean?
Okay.
I was literally going down and just trying like everything. And so, yes, did some things, obviously, if you're going to like do some of these things, they're going to help, but it wasn't the overall thing that was the overall. And so I started to like be an advocate for myself and trying these alternative things, which led me to being more curious about, again, in our community and talking to others and learning about them and hearing what they're doing and all that kind of stuff, which really opened me up to various things, which has brought me to where I am. So it was all for a reason.
Yeah.
I wish it just went ahead to been 7 years.
7 years. So you were really at the end of your rope. Well, for me, when I get to that point where I'm so uncomfortable in the situation that I'm willing to try anything that anybody suggests, it really does mean that I have pushed myself to the point where I will try anything. You know, somebody says, wake up at 3 in the morning and eat raw eggs. It's like, okay, I'll give it a shot. You know, stand on your head for 45 minutes a day. If you think that'll help, okay, let's try, you know, right? Because nothing else is working. And that's another indication of how long you had persevered with this and how discontent you were. And so what was, tell us what was the thing that started to move the needle where you started to see improvement?
So my sister has Lyme, and so she was found an functional medicine, natural path, whatever you want to say, where she lives. And she had been t I've been hearing for 2 years at that point. So the total was 7 years, but 2 years like before that 7 year end, she had been talking about all these different things, and I was like this is all news to me again. And I said, well, maybe I have Lyme. Maybe that's
Right.
why I'm not healing, right? So I was planning a trip home anyway. So I set up an appointment with the person and we talked and I did some testing and whatever. I did the blood testing to see if I had any food allergies, because again, the food is very important on healing and different
Yep.
things. So what came back is I didn't have Lyme, but I had some sensitivities, let's say, not allergic, but
Right.
sensitivities to dairy and eggs. So of course I went down the road with her doing telemedicine even before it was cool, before the pandemic, and I started to, well, my gut started to feel really good. So that was
Okay.
a benefit of taking those out of my food intake. So that was something. But at the time when I was at that first appointment, she's like, I've had a lot of success with this frequency device that I have. And I was like, frequency device? So she laid me down on this table, and it was a big contraption that she had in her, and she put it on for 10 minutes. She's like, I know 10 minutes doesn't seem very long, but in quantum physics, and she starts talking about quantum physics. And I'm like, again, like the timing was right night. I was not open to be, I didn't know what she was talking about, but she was giving it complimentary and it didn't hurt. And I said, what the heck?
Yeah.
And so I had pain relief for over 24 hours, and I was like, what is this magic? And so I kind of continued the conversation with her because of the food sensitivities, but also trying to find like who in my area is you that has one of these things that is helping me, because I want to investigate this more. She couldn't find anyone in the Mecca of Western medicine where I live.
Right. That's true. I didn't even think about that you were in the land of Mass General and oh my goodness. So you started, so it was your sister who referred you to a naturopath is the path that we took. So the thing I wanted to ask is that when you started to do these alternative treatments, I was curious about whether who was around you at this time, your support circle, and what were they thinking, and what sort of feedback you were getting? Because I know that the parts of my family who are very Western doctors, when I'm like, yeah, I'm going to go see a chiropractor, there's a group of them that are like, really, Aim? Like, what are you doing?
I would say that a lot of people around me closely would be of the pill popping type. And so this was different. But I think because it was such a long process, they were like, whatever you need to do. Like,
Okay.
I don't understand it, and I probably still don't understand it to this day, but whatever you need to do, I will support you in that, right?
Yeah. No, and there, and it, I completely resonate with the experience you had where they're like, we're going to put you under this machine and it doesn't hurt. And you were like, let's try it. It's fine. I don't know what it's doing. I remember getting a laser treatment on my shoulder in the chiropractor's office, and he was telling me all about it. And I was like, I can't tell anything about what is happening. Like, this could be out, you could be shining a red light, you know, that is nothing on my shoulder. Like, there's no way for me to know. It's just, it could be great or it could not be. So you go, you're doing, so I think that's amazing that you, so you did screening and they told you what things to eliminate versus like I once had to do an elimination diet to figure out what the sensitivity was, which starts with like several days of basically not eating anything but chicken and rice. And so I'm very jealous of the fact that they were like, just eliminate these things because you'll feel better.
It was sort of a certain process over 3 weeks. Like I had to take everything out for 3 weeks, and then I had to, then eat
Add it
one
back
quarter of
in.
an egg, and then eat
Yeah.
a half egg the next day. And I think it was on day three that they told me to eat a whole egg, and I got so sick that I was like, "That's good. I'm just not going to have dairy, and I'm not going to have eggs." And that was the end of the story, and that was kind of the end of the conversation. And I did that for a good 3 to 4 years, where I just didn't have those in my diet. But now I've added them back because I've taken my learning to the next level. So.
Oh, good. We did so. Yeah, I did. We did the elimination, and I was eating chicken and rice for however many days. Just absolutely, just a very sad, sad little person. And then I started adding things back, and it turned out that if I removed dairy and soy at the same time, it resolved the problem. And so that was really good news. But dairy and soy are in everything. It is like crazy. It was a complete overhaul of the what I brought into the house to eat. I mean, dairy, I had a house full of children. Dairy and soy were in everything, everything. So that was crazy. So that's I can see how that would be good. So you're looking for this quantum physics, but frequency machine in Massachusetts. Did I get those words right? Are those the right words?
Correct.
Okay, very good. Quantum physics, quantum physics,
Frequency
not
devices.
frequency device. There we go.
There
You can't find it. Are you going back then to Minnesota to get these treatments to alleviate your pain?
you go. No, but
Okay.
she had her own personal device that she rented to me for a nice little fee that I took her up on a few times, that then again I had the same results. So it was a matter of time that something was going to happen. I like the universe was conspiring, right? Like I was getting relief, and here I am in our community of women talking to someone, and she's like, "Oh, yeah, I'm going to be partnering with this company out of Germany with this frequency device." And I said, "What? Frequency device? Tell me more." Right? And so
Yeah.
that's what actually ended up happening. And that's in May of 2020, this company was deciding to launch in the US during the pandemic. So
Okay.
I had time to do all the work that I needed to do to have a better understanding. So yeah, I signed up, I got the device, and started working with it. And within a matter of a couple months, once I got the device, again, we were in a pandemic, so distribution was a little, it took a few months for me to get it. But then within a few weeks, I found myself back on the trail, which I like to walk when I was feeling good. But that day I decided to jog, and I was like, uh-oh, what's happening? This is amazing. I don't have any pain. What's going on here?
Oh my goodness. And are you still, so then you invested in your own machine. You're giving yourself treatments, which means it must be fairly simple to use, which is very impressive. And then how, and it, the relief was immediate and
Well,
significant
after a
and.
couple of months, so I was doing daily sessions, 2 to 3 every single day for myself, and utilizing it that way. And yeah, so the whole premise is that if our body falls below 70 megahertz, that's when disease, things creep in, and things start to happen and break apart. So this frequency, if we can keep our frequency high, again, High vibes is not just a cool thing to say, right?
Sure. Yeah.
It's high vibrations, high frequency. So I was learning through the device what was low. I could scan myself and know what was low, and then send vibration or hit different biogenic fields around me to increase that frequency. And so again, I don't really know what did I do? Did I do something, or was it simply that I had a block of energy that was residing in that area that was causing the pain? I to this day I don't know, and I don't care to know because I don't
Right.
need to relive it. It's over and done. But that's what typically, again, what got me interested in all this, because
Yeah.
what do you mean that blocked energy? What do you mean frequency? What do you mean vibration? What do you mean everything's energy? That's what really kind of, because I had time during the pandemic. Here's this device that I'm using. It's on my cell phone and it's a little device and I'm using it and it's doing things that I don't understand.
That, yeah, was it a leap of faith? Like, what was there a piece of your brain that was like, ah, I know that it's working, but I don't like, I mean, how, like, was there a little bit of a disconnect? Like, how could this be? Like, is this a real thing?
Because I wasn't trained in it, or I don't even remember them talking about this in high school or college. So I don't know. I might have not been paying attention, but I don't remember all of this.
I probably wouldn't have been paying attention, but also I didn't take that type, a lot of those type of classes. Like I took the bare minimum of that type of class. I was more taking other things that were in arts and letters. And so there's both sides of that. That would not have been my study, but I do, as an adult, I have realized for a long time, I thought that maybe I hadn't been offered a lot of the stuff that comes up when I was in school, but now I have a revised feeling about that. It's very possible that these things were happening in the classroom and I was in the back of the room talking and did not pay attention. And therefore, that's why I think it wasn't taught, but I think it probably was. So you buy the device, you do this, you go down the rabbit hole. How does this change? Obviously, the pain goes away, which is a massive change in your life. But what, which, and that was the goal. You were looking for the pain to go away. That was the change you hoped would happen. But what else then changed in your life as a result of finding this device and having this experience? How did this change the path?
So it opened me up to all of this, which I wasn't aware of. So I went down that path, which then I started to take more classes. But the device actually was doing things that I wasn't even aware of at the time. But then noticed once I didn't have the pain, I was noticing other things that were happening in my body and outside of my body. And I was like as far as, I had perimenopausal symptoms, and all of a sudden I realized, like, probably for 2 months, I didn't have any of those. And all of a sudden, I realized that I didn't have any of those. And I was like, I wasn't even focused on that. I wasn't doing anything to, look at it. And then,
Yeah.
another year goes by, and then I started using it to manifest different things. And then things were happening that I wanted. So again, it's that whole everything is energy and the law of attraction and all those things. So anyways, I got the device, and because it was a pandemic, many people were offering in that community, like The Power of Intention with Lynn McDermott. They were offering all these things, and I was like, well, I'm not doing anything else, so let me just be on Zoom more, right? So I
Yeah.
just kept on taking all these courses, and the more I learned, the more I became curious and wanted to learn more. So then through our community, I met someone who was a Reiki master and a teacher. And so I said, well, okay, let me get to the bottom of this wisdom of how this all kind of came to be. And let me just take the first certification. Well, 8 months later, I have my master certification because I'm a finisher. I like to finish what I start and all that kind of stuff. And then it led to, at that time, I was using cards for Oracle cards. And so I led, like, well, let's learn more and let's take a certification course with that. And it just kind of like started to really like just dive into that, all the things of energy, frequency, and vibration, and how can they play a part in my physical world, but also emotional, spiritual, all the things, right?
Yeah, no, that's very, I love that. I love that path. I love that that altered your path. So let's think about younger you growing up in Minnesota. Did you have any concept or any inkling any leaning? Like, what were you? Were you like in an interest in any of these things? Any ideas about energy and vibration and alternative cultures and concepts? Was that who you were as a kid, or is this new in 2020?
It's new in 2020. So
Okay.
let's just preface rural Minnesota, okay?
Rural Minnesota.
Small town USA where everyone looked and acted like me.
Okay. All right. So I was curious about that, whether or not you had a background of that. So that is really very interesting. Now, you've mentioned a couple of times how we know each other, and I'm going to fill in the gap for the people who are listening. Wendy and I are both part of a connection group, a worldwide connection group, which is how we know each other, called Polka Dot Powerhouse. So that's how she and I have known each other for a couple of years. All right. So in a minute, we're going to do the final wrap-up questions. I've loved this story. I do want to give you a chance to really tell people what you do as a profession now, what you do and how people can find you to connect with you.
Yeah. So I want to share all the knowledge that I have gleaned. And so with all the things, Reiki cards, all the things, a frequency device, I want to help other people. So whatever that they may show up being pain, it could be block in their business that they're looking for. I'm here to offer those services to help other people because I know what it felt like, and I want to, if I can help someone else, I just want to do that. So, yeah, I mean, you can look at my products and services that I offer on my website, which is one Wendy, O-N-E, Wendy, Wendi.com, to check it out more or just reach out to me. I love to connect with people and again, learn about them because there's maybe something I don't know about that. Well, I know there's things I don't know about, right?
Yeah. So that link, I'll put that link in the show notes, and I'll also put it in the email that goes out. So the best way to get those links, the easiest way I think, is to sign up for the Imperfect Adulting email community, and then you just, it comes into your inbox and you click on it and you're off. So that is very good. That's a very generous offer. I want to thank you for that. I also want to thank you for sharing your story. I think that pain is something that a lot of people experience. And I think that most people have an experience where they go to a doctor who is doing their very, very best and they're not able to solve it. And maybe it's another doctor, you did a second opinion, and maybe it's an alternative technique that you wouldn't otherwise have considered that is the path to it. And it's such a beautiful story because it resolved your pain and it led you into like a field of study that you really love now. So
Yes.
that is really great. Okay, so we're going to close up. I'm going to ask you three questions. They're supposed to be rapid fire, answer in like short, so on and so forth. I'm not very good at the whole short, brief thing, but you know, we try. It's just for fun. I knew when I wrote this that you were from Minnesota, so I did this. And I'm wondering if you have ever been to a fair in Minnesota, like maybe the Minnesota State Fair. And if so, what would you say is your favorite fair food?
Okay. Yes, I've been to fairs and in fact, been to this Minnesota State Fair and I've been to the Renaissance Festival and Fair or whatever they call it,
Okay.
which is a permanent location there. And I love cheese curds.
Cheese
Is
curds.
that pretty typical? I'm from Minnesota.
I think of that as Wisconsin,
Yeah,
the cheese curds.
it is, but
Okay.
you know, it's right next door, so it kind of like
I had a coworker a million years ago in Florida where I live, and but she was from Wisconsin, and so her family would send cheese curds, and I had never had cheese curds until this time, and I will never forget the first time I had it. It makes the squeaky noise when you, it's the weirdest sensation.
So those are good. And I should clarify, when you're at the State Fair, you have deep fried cheese
Oh,
curds.
deep fried, of course, deep fried pickles, deep fried
Right.
Oreos, deep
So
fried
that's a
cheese
whole
curds.
nother
Okay.
experience.
All right, I love that. I love that. All right, question number two. Have you ever been fired from a job?
I have.
Okay. Do you want to tell us what it was or no?
Yeah, so before I don't, when I first moved here, I was working at a place and yeah, they, I guess fired, let me go, basically brought me into a room and said, we no longer want you. And I was devastated because I mean, I was younger, right? How
Yeah.
can the world go on without me being here? But obviously, again, what you know, a lot of people say, the next thing was bigger and better,
Was
right?
bigger and better. All right, that's good. That's very good. So yeah, it's a traumatic experience, a dramatic experience, I mean. All right, so this question only works if you watch TV or movies. So if you don't, then it doesn't work. But what's a show or a movie that you're currently watching or have just watched that you're really enjoying?
So I just finished last night something on Netflix. So I never used to watch a lot of TV until the pandemic. I guess I had extra time.
Yeah.
I got into Netflix because then I didn't have to watch commercials, which really bugged me. And I just finished last night Younger, which
Okay.
is a 7-part series that ended in 2021 that I wasn't on my radar, but I think the main actress is now dating Hugh Jackman, and so that's why it's kind of come full circle. But I really like, I don't know, I just found myself, I'm a sucker for romance and plots and little twists, and so I just really enjoyed it.
Okay, Younger. I have not watched that. We during the pandemic in my house, we went into first of all rules about screen time were completely abandoned,
Yeah.
like 100%. And over several months, we ended up with basically any subscription to any channel that has ever been released. And we made all kinds of excuses for it because it was the pandemic and there was nothing else to do, and everybody needed this for that. But as time has moved on, we are no longer in lockdown and doing these things. And if I mention, like, hey, do we really need all of these services, for all of these channels, my family, nationwide, all of them, they're like, no, absolutely, we need Hulu 27 in addition to, all of these other things. I'm like, all right, fine. We will just have all of the channels, and we've had the same passwords for all of these accounts for 20 years. I mean, there are people, I don't even want to know who's logging into my accounts. Like, there's no way that it's working out. All right, this has been wonderful. Thank you very much, Wendy. This is it. You've been a wonderful guest on the show.
Thank you so much, Amy. It's been fun.
Thank you for listening today. I hope that you enjoy the show. And before I go, I want to encourage you to become a bigger part of the conversation. Obviously, subscribe wherever you're listening to the show. Listen to more episodes. That'd be great. Obvi again, please write a review and tell your friends about the show. That truly is a great help for getting the show in front of new people. Okay, but more fun for you yourself, head over to imperfectadulting.com and join the email community. You'll get some free stuff right away, and that way you'll begin to get the emails about the podcast. This includes the links for the special offers from the guests, and it's the only way to get that. Also, if you aren't in the mood to listen, I actually include an article directly in those emails. Whee! Now, if you love this and you crave more time with me, Amy, as a coach, a mentor, or just adultier adult, numero uno, check out The Village. If you have a story you want to share with the listeners, I'd love to hear from you. I have an open application. Just let me know you want it. And that's a wrap for today. Until next time, remember, the journey is the destination. Ralph Waldo Emerson said that, not me. Well, until just now, I did just say it. But what I want you to hear today is that if your adulting journey isn't going the way you expected, that may not mean that you're lost. It may just mean that you're on your way. This is Amy Stone, signing off. The Imperfect Adulting Podcast is created and produced by Amy Stone and Amy Says So. Anything expressed on this show is offered as entertainment, and the views of the guests may not always represent the ideas and viewpoints of the host. That's me. Amy does not intend or hold herself out to provide professional advice or recommendations of any kind. In the end, you and you alone need to make those kinds of decisions based on your personal and individual situation, needs, circumstances, and comfort level.